got another message from Mary. They've admitted Charles to the hospital. They said his nose was broken, and his understanding is that they're going to operate on him. So whether he got that right or not, she said he thought he overheard them saying that. So we'll find out. But anyway, that's the last that I have on him. If you would, turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. This is my last lesson on the Beatitudes. I'm wrapping that up. If you've been following where I've been in this series. And so the last Beatitude was begins in verse 10, and it actually covers three verses there. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." I'm sorry, verse 10. "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I read this, and the first thing that I thought about was, who here really enjoys when people single you out and make fun of you? Is there anybody that really enjoys that? You know, I think what we see is that we want to fit in. And we see that trends flow from country to country even. First it starts in some area, and then it spreads out, and the next thing you know, the whole country is doing the same thing, and then the whole world is following the same fashion trends or things that they like to do or whatnot. And it's kind of the nature of man is to try to fit in to the culture, the environment that we're part of. And I thought about, even in the military, you know, you join the military and you come in and you're wearing whatever clothes you've got on. You've got an advertisement on your shirt, and hair is this long, or your hair is shaved off, and the first thing I do is start cutting everybody's hair and putting you in the same clothes. So we all kind of look alike, and then they say, okay, every day you're going to do this. You're going to do it together. And the idea is that they're forming a team. They're saying, we want some camaraderie, and we want to make you fit into what the standards the military has established for you. And then what happens oftentimes is there's a peer pressure. If there's somebody that's lagging, he's causing the rest of the guys to have to do more push-ups or run more miles because he's not doing his part. So they use peer pressure to make you fit in, try harder, be more like everybody else is going to be. That's the world we live in, right? So even in that environment, you can become persecuted if you're not fitting in like you should be. Groups form all the time based on appearance, ideals, preferences, beliefs. And then you have Jesus, who's born in the middle of Judaism. And that's the group. And they have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're making sure that you follow the standard that they say you should follow. You got to look the same if you're going to be a Jew. And Jesus, he said, no, you guys have it all wrong. God's word was the reformation of a man's heart to serve him. And what you should be looking like is God. That's the pattern we should be putting on our life. And so what did the Jews do? They hated him for it. They hated him for teaching a message that didn't conform with them, and said that you could, when he said you can walk a different walk than what they're saying, they hated him for it. And so he was persecuted throughout his entire ministry. Even his own brothers at one point didn't believe in him. You think about that even they joined in with the Jews and said, you're not part of this group. So a question that I have to ask myself, and you should ask yourself, is, Jesus said here, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Do you feel blessed when you're persecuted? Do you feel blessed when people make fun of the fact that you choose to follow after God, or do you hide your head in shame? Because he's going to tell you right now, people are going to do that. They are going to persecute you. They're going to mock you. They're going to try to make you feel bad about serving God. Do you feel blessed when that happens? Or do you join in with the crowd and do you try to conform so that it looks like your choices are the same as my choices? And then we'll sneak over here and we'll try to serve God instead of letting everybody know that's my preference and that's my priority. That's what Jesus is saying. Make this your preference and make this your priority. So, having gone through all these Beatitudes, it's kind of interesting that he puts this at the very end, isn't it? Because what he's told us is that when you're meek, and when you're poor in spirit, and when you're gentle, and when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, and when you're merciful, and you're pure in heart, and you're a peacemaker, guess what? People are going to persecute you if that's what you're doing. So blessed are you when you're persecuted for doing those things that I've told you you need to do. So he's telling you there's a step-by-step process of things you need to adopt in your life. And when you do, here's where you're going to end up. So don't hang your head in shame. That's exactly where you need to be. And if you're not doing those others, you're probably not going to be persecuted. So he goes on and he says to them that men in John, he tells them that men would persecute them and cast insults. In verse 11, he's also going to say it in John, but he says in verse 11, blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. You see, there's a choice that we need to make. Am I going to serve God? Am I going to listen to Jesus? And am I going to follow his word? And if I do that, he's told me, this isn't really an if statement, it's a going to happen statement. Men are going to make fun of you. They're going to try to shake you from that position and try to make you conform to their own. And so he told his disciples that men would cast insults, but he also said they would persecute him. And that word persecute is diako in Greek, which means any way whatever to harass, trouble, or molest you. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Any way they can harass, trouble, or molest you. So don't expect, if you're serving Jesus, for people to say, good job. It's probably not going to happen. You know why? Because your service to God condemns their choices. And that's what Jesus has been telling them. Your service to God is going to condemn other people. You don't have to say anything. Just the fact that you're doing it is going to condemn them on the lifestyle that they're leading. Serving him does not agree with the choices of men. So in John the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 18, he says here, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now he's talking to his disciples, but it holds true for you and me. He's telling them, I'm giving you my message and you're going to go preach my message into all parts of the world. And when you preach this message, God's word to man on how you need to walk, how you need to be obedient, how you need to think, what should become your priority. When you do that, they're going to hate you. And they're going to hate you because they hated me first. Because they don't appreciate God. That's what it all boils down to. They don't appreciate God. They want to do what they want to do. They want power, wealth. They want to make themselves the priority in life. They want the things that they want to do the most important thing, and they don't care about what God says. Now that's what the other Beatitudes have told us, is care about your brother. Look to the needs of others. Be humble. Be meek. Recognize that you have a need for grace. When you do those things, you're getting to the right spot. We saw this persecution in the scriptures, didn't we? So John the Baptist, he tells Herod that he shouldn't have his brother Philip's wife. He's thrown in prison for the message that he was preaching about the Messiah coming. And then Herod's wife, Herodias, hates him so bad for telling her husband that she can't lawfully be his wife, that she asks for his head on a platter. Right? James the Apostle, beheaded. Paul, what happened to Paul? According to history, Paul was crucified for preaching the gospel of Christ. And he tells us himself, he says, I've been cast in prison. He tells us himself, he says, I've endured stripes. We know he was stoned. All for what? For preaching God's message. For saying, you know what? That's my priority in life. God. It's not for physical reward. It's for spiritual reward. It's not to be accepted by man. It's to be accepted by God. Think about that. Are you seeking the acceptance of man or are you seeking the acceptance of God? Because those two are in conflict. They don't go together. Stephen preached the message, stoned to death. So the message that Jesus is giving, the warning he gives in Matthew 5:11, is referring to his word and the effect it has on men. Preaching God's word will change them. Preaching God's word will stop some of the things that we call fun from happening. Preaching God's word means that you can't be a rebel. Preaching God's word means that you have to share and care. That's what it means. And so men hated it and they condemned it. And those who have been healed no longer fit into the world. They don't. I mean, we sit here and we admire Jesus because we have a goal of being in heaven one day. But does the world admire Jesus for what he did? They still mock him. To this day, he's still mocked. They still offer scorn to those who announce that they love Jesus. And this isn't just in America. This is around the world that this happens. His name is used in vain constantly. Right? How many people do you hear when you have a conversation with them that they take the name of God in vain? They just throw it around. They don't show any reverence at all. It's just commonplace. And when you say something to them, they get mad at you. How dare you? Who do you think you are to tell me how to talk? Cast insults immediately. It immediately becomes an insult. Because you have corrected them on something they shouldn't do. You know, Luke, he recorded this a little different. Matthew is pretty extensive on the Beatitudes. Luke is not. But Luke, on this particular thing, he uses some different words in Luke, the 6th chapter, in verse 22. He says, blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and cast insults at you and spurn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Did you catch that last part? Spurn your name as evil. You know, if you read some of the rhetoric that happens right now because of the political mood of America and all the things that are happening politically, there's a group of people who hate God, who hate His commandments, who hate Jesus, who hate everything about righteousness. And when you start talking about God or God's principles, they call you evil. It's happening. What he's talking about is happening. Where do you stand on these things? Can the world tell the difference? These are not the things that we as humans enjoy happening to us, are they? There's not one of us who wants to be highlighted and be called evil or to be hated by men or to be put out there by yourself. You know what it feels like? Jesus did. And he's telling you, as a Christian, expect it. It's going to happen. The whole Sermon on the Mount, Those previous 9 verses prior to this, they focus on the spiritual man. It's all about enhancing the spiritual man. How do you do that? He's saying in your physical walk, you're serving God, and in serving God, you serve others. You recognize that nothing you have done, nothing you have is of your own accomplishments. They're blessings. They all come from God. He gave them to you and He can take them away. Little or big, they're blessings. And they really don't matter except how you view them. That's what He's telling us. How do you view what you have and where you are? We read these verses, we study the context, and we live in a physical world. And out of that, we have to bridge this gap into the importance of what the spiritual meaning is for us. And it's hard. We get our feelings hurt, right? We want things we don't have. We want things sometimes that other people have. We relish sometimes in bad happening to people who do good. I mean, the list goes on and on of how our personalities can mesh with the world, and they're not Christian attitudes. And He's telling us, don't be like that. He's telling us, all these things I've preached to you, when you live them in your life, you're demonstrating your conviction to God. And people don't like that. People want the exception. You know, even in the church, I watch brethren, and I've watched it my whole life. We've seen debates, we've seen congregations split over brethren sometimes having some situation in their life that goes against God's word, and when it's pointed out to them, hard feelings result, and congregations choose sides. Well, brother so-and-so's always been helpful to us, and so we should make an exception. And I think if anybody's been in the church any time at all, we've seen this happen. Somewhere along the way, we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen with preachers' kids, where they aren't walking right, and people say, but he's a great preacher, and so they turn a blind eye to these things. Right? Situation after situation. And God's saying, there's no hierarchy amongst men. There's my word. It's right here. You walk right there. There's none of this up and down. You don't get to drop below the line and men say, oh, you're okay. Where are we most comfortable in our life? Are we most comfortable when we're in constant prayer with God, in a constant relationship with Him? Or are we most comfortable with our good friends who don't necessarily worship God in their life, but we like them? Where are we most comfortable? And that's a question each one of us has to ask ourselves. And it's something we should ask ourselves every day. It's not something that you ask today and then forget about. It's every day. Where am I most comfortable? And then I have to say, do I feel blessed when men call me names or threaten me or attempt to silence me? Does that make me feel good? Or am I already silent? See, that's the other part of this thing, is that being already silent and not speaking up, that's no better than associating with people and doing things that we shouldn't. We need to take the position that that's wrong or that's right. Jesus did, right? And I'm saying that we go to rallies and that we hold up signs. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when we're confronted by circumstances, we speak up and we say the right thing and do the right thing at the right time. That's what He's talking about. He's not telling us that we go looking for trouble. Because really, that's what happens when you go to these things, is you're looking for trouble. He told us to lead a peaceful life. But He's telling us when these things happen, speak up. Be a Christian. And guess what? As soon as you do, you're going to get persecuted. Somebody's going to get mad. I can promise you this. I don't even have to know the other person. I can promise you that will happen. I've watched this in the church where a brother or a sister in Christ something they've done in their life has been pointed out to them. Condemned, because it was wrong. And I've watched this happen, I would say 90% of the time. Instead of that person hanging their head, feeling shame, being humbled, they immediately turn around and condemn the person who just pointed out to them. This is amongst brethren. We need to make sure that's not amongst ourselves. We should be thankful when somebody cares enough about us and loves us enough that they point out that this will help us to get to heaven, following God's word. We should be thankful. He said, what Jesus said there in Matthew 5, he said, blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Then he says in verse 12, he says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad when that happens. That word there, from the Greek word to be glad or exult, depending on your version, is the Greek word agaleo, which means, it comes from two words, agen, much or very, and halomai, which means jump or leap. So he's telling us that when men condemn us for serving him, jump for joy. That's literally what he's saying. Jump for joy when you're persecuted, when you're condemned. Be glad when somebody has seen that you're going to take a stand for preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. If our self-esteem comes from the world, we can never reach that point. We'll never be glad when somebody points out what's wrong in our life. And you know, when Jesus was on the earth with his apostles, And I know this is a big step. I don't mean to preach a lesson that it sounds like this is simple. This is probably the hardest part of the whole service to God, is to face men and not care what they think about me any longer. Because they're not judging me. It's God who judges me. But when Jesus was on the earth and his apostles were with him, and Peter makes that bold statement, Lord, I'm willing to go with you even unto death. And Peter said, or Jesus said, Peter, you're not even going to be able to make it through the rooster crowing three times tonight before you deny me. Oh no, Lord, not me. And he couldn't even admit to those people that were around that night that he was part of Jesus' disciples. Jesus knew that. He knows that when men insult you, attempt to persecute you, point you out. Go back and read the things that happened to Peter. He's one of them. Oh no, not me. Aren't you one of his? Not me. You're one of his, right? And then he starts cursing and he says, not me. You see, he didn't want to be associated with God, with Jesus, with those choices. But Peter changed. He didn't understand. He grew. He started planting himself daily in those things that were important. And Peter got to the point where he did exactly what Jesus said. He rejoiced because men pointed out to him, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, in Acts the 4th chapter, if you'll turn over there with me, Jesus has died. The apostles are out there preaching the gospel. And so Peter and John have been arrested. And they're arrested because they've been teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. And when you go down to verse 18, this is the council. They've been brought before the council. And it says here, and when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard, and when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which they might punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. So they've come to this point where now the Jewish hierarchy has said, you two be quiet. Nobody wants to hear this, and we're tired of hearing about how you say we killed Jesus. It was the Romans who killed Jesus. We didn't kill him, even though the whole plan was their plan. And then I get to chapter 5, because they didn't stop. And you get down to verse 28. And they've been imprisoned again here. But in verse 28, or we'll start in verse 27, and it says, and when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. Now, is that yours and my position when we're faced with the world and it tells us that, hey, you have to agree with the ideals of gay marriage and everything else that's going on, that you have to accept the latest worldly vision on how equity is reached in this world, and this person over here wants to be called a dog and this person over here wants to be called whatever? Because that's happening now too, right? And it's become a part of our government. You must accept it. You must do it. And lots of businesses have adopted those plans. And lots of locations have adopted those plans. And what did Paul and Peter, or Peter and John say? We have to teach God. We have to teach God. And so now they're called up again, and they said, because this is really the same thing at that time. This was just as bad to the Jews that were living in the city, Judaism. This was the same sort of thing happening. You're teaching Jesus is the Messiah. You're teaching men are saved by Jesus. You're teaching that the Mosaical law has become weak and unable to save man. All of these things that they believe. This is a brand new teaching to people who are died in that tradition. And he says, but we must obey God rather than men. So I go down in this same chapter and get to verse 40, and it says, now, it says when they took his advice, it was Gamaliel's advice that he said, hey, if they're an insurrection, they're going to fail on their own. But then it says, and they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council. Now look what happens here. Rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now you want an example of what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 5:10 about rejoicing, blessed are the persecuted? Here it is. This has almost reached the pinnacle level of what's going to happen when you preach God. So they've been imprisoned, they've been flogged, they've been admonished. The only thing that hasn't happened so far is they haven't been killed, but that's yet to come, right? It's still going to come. So what are you facing today? What am I facing today that's so challenging that I can't commit myself to defending God and His message to other people? You going to get arrested today? Somebody going to take you out and flog you? You going to get beheaded? What's our reasons? He's telling us these are the things you have to do for the kingdom. He's not telling us to go look for trouble. He's telling us stand up for truth. Preach the gospel when the opportunity comes. Help others. Don't agree with what's wrong. Do the right thing at the right time. Later on in that same chapter, Matthew 5, he says, we're to be a light shining on a hill for the purpose of glorifying the Father who's in heaven. He said, you're a city that can be seen from afar off. God's view of us is much different than man's view. For those who are seeking truth, we are that light. For those who want to get close to God, we are that light. For brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a light. There's a lot of us. Let's be lights to each other. Let's be encouragements to each other. Let's help each other on that journey. That's what he wants. So reflect on what Paul said to those who were in Corinth. Because remember, when you get to the book of Corinthians, these people are really struggling with worldliness. They want to be known as being knowledgeable. They brag about where they learned their philosophy from. He talks to them about how close they've come to the world, the things that they do that are in the world. But I want you to look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Because really, if you break this down, you can say, man, that really does apply just as well today as it did then. He says, consider your calling, brethren. This is verse 26, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. The things that are not. He's saying those things that are not worldly, not powerful, not rich. He's chosen all of those things to prove what is important. He says that no man should boast before God, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You see, if we're going to walk and be able to be happy when we're persecuted, we have to understand that I'm a spiritual being in a physical world, and I'm only here for a little while. So take advantage of my time and do the right thing all the time. I preach this, and like Frank always says, I preach lessons to myself first. I'm not saying this to you any more than I'm saying it to me, because this certainly applies to me maybe twofold as much as it applies to you. I struggle with these things like most men struggle with these things. It's hard sometimes to face that torment and do the right thing. But he's telling us it's important and it's necessary. Peter, he came to this understanding. Look what he says in 1 Peter, the third chapter, beginning in verse 18. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Sorry, I started in the wrong spot. I said verse 13. I started in verse 18. Verse 13, and who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Well, he lays it out there, doesn't he? keep good conscience, so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Don't bend. Don't break. Stand up for the truth all the time. Our journey is a spiritual journey in a physical world. It requires us to be focused. It requires study. It requires prayer. It requires us to encourage and edify one another, to be there, to be a brotherhood like we should be, to be focused on serving God. And it's through that that we can be ready to face persecution. Are you ready? Are you ready to face it? Are you rejoicing when you suffer for His name? Are you viewing your life from the proper perspective today? If not, the time is now for each of us to change. The invitation is for anybody that has a need, and we invite that as together we stand and we sing number 307.